night we didn't have too much snow and ice. And thank God for the sunshine this morning. We weren't here last week, so it's good to be back. And today I want to continue in this series that we began at the beginning of the year. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And that's where we're going to start. But before we go there, I want to read a little bit of the foundational verse that we have started. Somebody had changed my Bible up here. Who was that? Before we go to 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. And this is the foundational verse on the entire series, this entire thought of wanting to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. I want to see disciples made. I want to see lives changed. I want to see all of these things happen. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We've gotten that far. We have faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he goes on to say, against such things there is no law. Why? Because they're of the Holy Spirit. Why? God cannot judge himself on himself. He is not going to fail himself. Therefore, if we abide in these things, if we grow in these things, as the Spirit of God produces them in us, we will see our lives changed. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a faithful and fruitful life this year like I've never done before. So here we are. We've made it through love. We've made it through joy. We've made it through peace. We've made it through patience. We've made it through kindness. We've made it through goodness. And today we're talking about faithfulness. Well, I wanted to find faithfulness in two things. It's this. Faithfulness means consistently doing what you say you're going to do. Faithfulness. And then consistently doing what is good and right. Those are the two definitions in which I want to approach today with. And I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And when you get there, I also have it on the screen, so don't worry if you don't have it. But here we are. Let me just kind of tell you where we're at in the scriptures. Maybe you're like, well, who's Samuel? Well, Samuel was a prophet. And Samuel bridges the gap between the judges that you read about in the book of Judges, who weren't like Judge Judy and Judge Joe Brown with robes and mallets and all that, but they were the judges more of like a governor over the people and can try to lead the people and guide the people and hold the people together and do all of these things. And Samuel is bridging the gap between the judges and the kings. So whenever you're reading through your Bible and you read through Judges, and then you go and then you read through 1 and 2 Samuel, and then you go right into what? 1 and 2 Kings. So Samuel is bridging the gap between the judges and the kings. And here we are, and talking about faithfulness, this is what Samuel has to say in 1 Samuel chapter 12 as he is getting ready to allow Saul to take on the throne of the king. The people wanted a king, they appointed Saul. God did not anoint Saul, but the people wanted a king so desperately they would just settle for whatever they first agreed upon. It was King Saul. So here is Samuel giving a farewell address to the people as he's going to die soon, and then the kingship is going to happen. And he says this, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." So this is Samuel talking. And he's talking to a group of people whose ancestors had been enslaved for over 400 years. And God made a way out. He's talking to a group of people whose ancestors had left Egypt and came up to a sea that was in their way, and they had nowhere to go but backwards, back into Egypt. And God, being faithful, consistently doing what he says he's going to do, says, you know what? I'm going to make a way, and you're going to walk through dry ground. He is talking to a group of people whose ancestors had come to a city in which they were promised, and there were walls built around it, and they had no way to tear it down. So God said, here's how you're going to tear it down. You're going to walk around it for a few days, and then you're going to start shouting about it. God was faithful to them, consistently doing what he said he was going to do. That's who Samuel's talking to. These people have seen God do great things. And he says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. So actually, in this particular passage, Samuel addresses two people, one person and one people group. He first addresses himself. And this is what we see. He says, I should not sin against the Lord. Far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord. By ceasing to pray for you, I will instruct you in the good and right way. So this particular passage right here, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, could be preached to church leadership. It could be preached to all youth pastors, all preachers, all people who have a significant role in the church. And this is what it would be. Samuel addresses himself because he is expected, according to this passage of Scripture, to do two things. And two things that I'm accountable to and expected to do as well. And the first one is intercession. And the second one is instruction. And I would just tell you this. I would not be faithful to the Lord or faithful to you if I did not spend time praying for you. I wouldn't be faithful to you if I didn't pray for you. That's why I pray for this church weekly. That's why I pray that God would bless you, that God would convict you, that God would guide you, that God would heal you, that God would repair you, that God would restore you. So I spend time, I have to, because it is expected of me. And I wouldn't be faithful to him or faithful to you if I never considered you or never prayed for you or never interceded as Samuel did as he prayed on behalf of the people. God, please have mercy on them. God, guide them. God, teach them. God, lead them. And that's kind of what I have to do. And I understand some people need a lot more prayer than others. And I have to pray maybe a little bit harder for some people. And I have to pray a little bit harder after I see certain things. And as I scroll through certain things, I have to pray even harder. God, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, convict them. God, guide them. God, change them. God, comfort them. God, heal them. I would not be faithful to you, and I would not be faithful to the Lord if I didn't ever pray for you. That's why I have to do it weekly. And then the second thing he says is, I will instruct you in the good and the right way. So I know this, you know, you may not agree completely with it, but it's true. Not just because I said it, but because the Bible teaches it. That I would not be faithful to you, and I would not be faithful to the Lord, if I got up here every Sunday morning, how you doing, church? It's so good to be here. Have a blessed life. The best days are yet to come. God's got a special blessing with your name on it. God's got exponential growth or blessing with your name. I would not be faithful to you if I did not instruct you in the word and the way of the Lord. If I did not tell you, this is wrong according to what God says, and this is right. I would not be faithful to the Lord, and I would not be faithful to you if I did not instruct you in the word and the way of the Lord. If I just got up here and started pampering you and telling you, you're doing a great job. Just keep doing what you're doing. God's got it all. His grace is sufficient. You don't ever have to change. You don't ever have to submit to the Holy Spirit's conviction and confrontation. You just continue doing what you're doing. Just keep on keeping on. First of all, I would not be faithful to the Lord, and secondly, I would not be faithful to you. Because it is my responsibility to intercessory prayer, spend time in it, and also hold it tightly to my soul, the fact that I should instruct you in the good and the right way. And I'm sorry, but I cannot come to terms with pampering people to make them feel good and taking a passage of Scripture and twisting it to your approval. Because I'm never going to stand before you one day and plead for you to have mercy on my soul. I'm never going to stand before you one day and say, I did everything I could. I'm going to stand before him. And God forbid I sin against the Lord by not instructing you in the good and the right way. I know. Some sermons like, oh, well, I don't know if that's completely true. You don't have to really believe everything I say. You can read it yourself. I would hope that you would trust me enough. Or some sermons may say, oh, well, it's just a little bit of sin here and there. Just keep doing it. No, that's wrong. I'm sorry. I cannot encourage people to just comfortably live in sin and live however they want, thinking that everything's A-okay and that God's going to continue to bless you. However, God is a faithful God to forgive. He is a faithful God to redeem and restore. And whenever we seek his righteousness and live in his ways, we will find ourselves walking in his will. We will find ourselves walking in his blessing and his provision and his guidance. So I hold completely to my heart and to my soul to instruct you in the good and the right way. Even though that may clash a little bit with your lifestyle, it's my responsibility to do so. And far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord and not do it. And then he goes on to say something else. So knowing that there's two I's that I have to do, it's called intercession and instruction. And then he goes on to address the people group. The people group he goes on to address, he tells them this: only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Okay, so it's my job to get up here every Sunday and encourage you and equip you to live faithfully for the Lord and to surrender your heart and to repent of your sin. That's my job. That's my responsibility. And if I'm not doing it, then I'm not doing it correctly, but that's what I'm supposed to do. And then I'm supposed to encourage you to serve him faithfully with all of your heart. And you may wonder, why? Why would I want to commit all of myself? Why would I want to repent of all of my sin? Why would I want to serve him faithfully with all of my heart? Why would I want to change my entire life around in submission to him? And why would I want to do all of this? Why would I only want to fear the Lord? And the words "only" there really stands out to me because he's saying only fear the Lord, meaning no one else or nothing else. And the word "fear" there isn't meaning you're running around scared to death, like, is the Lord going to pop up in here? You know, you're not just tippy-toeing around, kind of peeking behind or around corners and opening your curtains, wondering if God's in the closet. No, fear is a reverence and an awe. It's understanding who he really is. And fear here is meaning only have awe and reverence for the Lord, no one or nothing else. As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm not going to stand before you one day and say, man, I tried to do everything I could. Can you have mercy and grant me eternal life? Can you welcome me into your presence? Because that's not going to happen. I will stand before the Lord one day. And until I come to fear of the Lord, I'll never live faithful for the Lord. And until I come to fear of the Lord, I'll never bear fruit for the Lord. So it all starts with understanding who God is. God is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the great I am. He is all. He is the sovereign God of the universe. And that's who we have the invitation to serve, to follow, and to love faithfully with all of our heart. So why would you do it? Well, he answers it. He says, for consider what great things he has done for you. Just think about it for just a second. I'll just shut up for just a minute. Don't amen to that, all right? But I'm just going to shut up for just a minute. I want you to think of what great things the Lord has done for you. Why would I want to serve him faithfully? With all of my heart. Because of the great things in which he has done for me. And I know at 27, I'm pretty young and dumb still. And I got a long way to go. But I think I've come to the point in my life, spiritually, that if God didn't ever move another mountain, he's already done enough. If God didn't heal me, if I was sick and God didn't heal me, he's already done enough. If God didn't repair something that is broken right now and that I wish and pray that he would repair, he has already done enough. Why do I want to serve him faithfully? Why do I get so excited to come and to preach God's word and to worship with his church? Because of what great things he has done. 27 years old, and God has blessed me with a woman I didn't deserve. I'm just being truthful. He blessed me with a woman I didn't deserve, and through her we have lived and been married for almost 7 years. It'll be 7 years this year. Never thought we'd make it one. Just being honest. Never thought we would make it one. And then season after season, whether the finances were very scarce or we had a little bit of extra, it didn't matter, because even though we didn't eat maybe every meal out to eat, it was bologna and cheese some meals. Guess what? My God was always faithful to provide my needs. He doesn't have to do another thing for me to serve him faithfully with all of my heart. He has already done enough. And before he gave me that woman, and before me he gave me those three girls, he came down from glory, put on flesh and blood and bone, and stood amongst the men and women of this broken, sinful world for 33 years to offer himself as a sacrifice for someone like me. What else does he have to do? I mean, you come to church and you worship, and maybe sometimes we think, okay, if God would just grant me this prayer, if he would just answer this one thing, if he would just give me this one job, or if he would just give me that house, or if he would just give me that man, or if he would just give me that woman, or if he would just give me this love, he has already done enough. This is why you should come to church excited to come. This is why you should wake up on Sunday morning not dreading to come to church, because of the great things in which he has already done for you. And I'm telling you, the longer that you live for him, the more faithful that you live for him, the more that you'll see he continues to bless. He continues to repair. He continues to restore. When you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. He is faithful, meaning he consistently does what he says he's going to do. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you and for you. And sometimes living faithfully for the Lord, it's like this dreaded, like we dread it. So to live faithful in our everyday lives, it's consistently doing what we say we're going to do. You're going to be faithful to your spouse. How? You're going to consistently do what you say you're going to do when you vowed to her or to him. So I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to consistently do what I say I'm going to do. Or then to your brother and sister, I'm going to consistently do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to go when I say I'm going to go. I'm going to be there when I say I'm going to be there. I'm going to do as I said I was going to do. So you grow in this consistency, and you grow in your faithfulness to people, and then you grow in your faithfulness to the Lord. How? Because you consistently do what is good and what is right. How do I know? Because he said, I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Let me just say, if people dread coming to church, you got to check your heart. If you think, oh, it's snowy outside, baby, it's cold outside, oh, I got to go to church. Or if you wake up and you have a day in which you're going to serve someone who has nothing, and you're going to put food on their table or put clothes on their back, and you say, oh, I was really hoping I'd have that money to go buy these new shoes or that new purse or that new fishing pole. Man, I really wanted that. Yet your brother and your sister has nothing, and we have an opportunity to be a blessing. If we dread doing those things, we have to check our heart. Because we're not serving him with all of our heart if we dread doing the things that are right and which are good. But if we have a desire to do which is good and what is right, then we live with this healthy attitude towards serving him faithfully. And this is what I come to realize. It's either a dreadful mindset and attitude, or you desire him. So when he says, only fear the Lord, all right, so I only fear the Lord. No one or nothing else is going to get all of my affection, all of my attention, only him. Why? Because he has done great things for me. Only fear the Lord. And then serve him faithfully with all your heart. So then there's this passage in Matthew chapter 5, and this has been burning inside of my soul, and I've probably shared it 135 times in the last 3 weeks with people. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it reads this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Okay, so we're trying to learn how to grow faithfully and serve him with faithfulness, right? Like, I would say, anybody here want to grow in your faithfulness to the Lord? Probably a few of you. Okay, I'm glad you came. You can come back next week and we'll try it again. But I would say we all want to grow in our faithfulness to people and our faithfulness to the Lord. And if we dread doing the things that are good and that are right, we're not serving him faithfully with all of our heart. Okay, we got it. And if I'm not consistently doing what I say to other people, I'm not being faithful to them. If I don't consistently do what is good and what is right, I'm not being faithful to the Lord. Got it. So how do we do it? Well, then, this particular passage, as I said, has been burning inside of my heart and soul. Jesus said during his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. For they shall be satisfied. I can't get over how quiet it is in here. Is everybody awake? It's quiet. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So then I started to think, well, how does that play into faithfulness? What does that have anything to do with faithfulness? And I'm thinking of this particular passage in which Samuel addresses the people and he says, serve the Lord faithfully with all your heart. And he's an old man, you know, he's got that voice that you listen to. Serve the Lord faithfully. And I can just hear the emotion in his voice, with all your heart. And then I started to think, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And I realized that in order to serve him faithfully with a healthy heart, we must first be hungry and thirsty for him. And what Jesus is saying is, those who are hungry and thirsty for my righteousness, those are the people who have come to realize that is the righteous character of God that I need in my life. And the only way that I will be satisfied is in a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. If I got up here and instructed you on, hey, it's just a little sin ain't going to hurt nobody, you know, just keep doing it, just keep going, you're doing all right, you know, just let's do the weights, you know, is it heavy, is it light? One, I wouldn't be faithful, and two, I wouldn't be building healthy, hungry Christians. I would just continue to build hypocrites. The church and the world do not need any more hypocrites. Can I just tell you that? Just scroll through Facebook. The church and the world do not need any more hypocrites. The world needs hungry people for the righteousness of God. And what I want to do, and what I've wanted to do for 2 years now, it's almost been 2.5 years now, is I've wanted to build a movement of God, not just that's confined to these walls, but a move of God with hungry, healthy Christians who are truly hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God. How does that look? Why do I need to live with hunger and thirst for the Lord if I want to live faithfully? Well, it's because of this. Living faithful is a life of commitment. All right, if you're going to live a faithful life for the Lord, you must be committed, because you don't consistently do things that you're not committed to. All right, if you're committed to eating bad, are you constantly working out? If you're committed to spending money, are you ever saying, let's put this money up? If you're committed to watching NASCAR, do you ever just watch Days of Our Lives instead? Unless the wife says yes. But whatever you are committed to is what you're going to consistently do. So if you are committed to something, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it with a healthy heart. You're going to do it with desire rather than a dreadful heart. And what I want to build, and what we need to have, not just in Potosi, but in the entire world, is a move of God, a spark of God that is hungry and that is thirsty for him. I mean, when I wake up, thank you, Lord, for this day. I mean, when I go to bed, thank you, God, that I have the opportunity to do what I have done today. I'm talking about people who are on Saturday night thinking, I cannot wait for the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, to sing songs to the name of our Lord, to worship with the church of our God. That's what hungry and thirsty is all about. It's people who say, you know what? I don't care what they've done to me. I'm more focused on him. And what I realize is that living a life of faithfulness is actually living a life of fixation and fascination. Those are two big words, I know. And I had to pull the old dictionary out, in which I brought with me. You know, I'm kind of like Eminem, and I just read the dictionary all the time. Want to see all the words that I'm pronouncing wrong and using wrong and correct myself. And I was thinking, man, to live a life of fixation, what does it really look like? To live a life with faithfulness, it's actually a life of fixation and fascination, fascinated by who God is and how he does what he does. Even though life is not good, he continues to do great things for me. The Bible didn't say, consider that you've never woken up in a storm. Consider that you've never had to wake up and life was ever difficult. Consider what God has done. You've never had a painful situation, because every single person sitting in this seat has had to go through a storm of some sort. Anybody ever experienced pain? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, because I know you've experienced loss. But even when life isn't so good, God is always doing great things. So this is what fixation means. So fixation means you have a fetish. So that means you kind of have a problem. Or is it fetish? I'm just making sure you're on your toes, all right? You got a fetish. Yeah, I got two of them. All right? It means you have a fetish, you have a problem. And then the second word is a synonym for fixation. The second word synonym for fixation is obsession. You have an obsession for something. When you're fixated on something or someone, that means you have an obsession for that or for them. And then you have infatuation. And then another synonym is compulsion. So these are all synonyms that go along with the word fixation. And I was thinking, man, am I truly fixated on Jesus? Am I truly obsessed with him? And I know that if I'm going to commit to something, that means I'm going to do it with all of my heart. And until you come to a point in which you are obsessed with Jesus Christ because of the great things that he has done for you, understanding that he took the death in which you deserve and that I deserve, he's the one that rose from the grave that we would have never risen from to grant us new life. Until you come to a point in which you can humble yourself and say no to the desires of the world and of this flesh and grow in obsession of Jesus, we will never live in true faithfulness for the Lord. And I want to ask you, because if you really want to live faithfully, it's consistently doing what is good and what is right. Have you come to a point in which you are obsessed? Because I am obsessed with the name and the work of Jesus. I am obsessed with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I am obsessed with the vision of a move of God in this community that we've never seen before. I am obsessed to see people restored like they've never been restored. I am obsessed to see marriages healthier than they've ever been. I am obsessed to see people changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm obsessed with it. And I know I fail, and I know I make mistakes, and I know I fall short, and I know I'm not always faithful to the Lord, and I sin against him. But until we can grow in obsession, and until we can grow in fixation, and fascination, where we are completely mesmerized, we are marveling at the work and of the grace and of the glory of our God, we will never surrender to him and live faithfully like we should. But here's the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is this, that Jesus came down, died on the cross, rose again, and as he was leaving to ascend to heaven, he said, I'm going to send one who is greater than I. And that would be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit is the one that confronts us in our brokenness. And the Holy Spirit is the one that changes us forever. So until we are obsessed with surrendering to him, submitting to him, we will never bear the fruit in which he is desiring from us to bear. And the question is this, it all starts with one thing, your heart. And I just want to ask before we close, before we leave, where is your heart? Not like, where is it as far as, oh, am I living in sin or not? But I just want to ask, what is your heart obsessed with? And what is your heart truly committed to? Is it yourself? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your kids? Is it your future? Is it with this team or that person, that celebrity? What is your heart truly obsessed with? And then, what are you committed to? I mean, are you truly committed to the work of the Lord in this place? Are you truly committed to the work of the Lord in our community? Are you truly concerned about people who are living far from God? Are you truly concerned about people who are broken and hurting? Are you truly concerned about couples who are on the verge of divorce? Are you truly concerned about kids who have been abused and neglected mentally, physically? Are you truly concerned about the widows and the orphans? Are we truly concerned about the people who need the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to show them the love, the mercy, and the grace of our God? And I realize that as we grow in obsession of the Lord, and as we truly fixate our lives, focus our hearts, our minds, our spirits upon Him, we'll grow in obsession, and we'll also grow in our faith. We'll grow in faithfulness, and the faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. And the goal for this entire year and the goal for the rest of your life is to be fruitful for the Lord. We have to start with our heart. Because if the tree is dead, it will not bear fruit. If your heart is hardened and cold and spiritually dead, you will not live faithfully for the Lord or bear fruit for the Lord. I just want to pray, and I want to just ask you in this place as we get ready to worship one last time.